Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today, best-selling author Dr. Jared Dupre joins us. Author of Whole Fit, Wellness for Life, Jared is an innovative thinker who relies on theories and applications derived from the social sciences, economics, and business. Equally, he values spirituality, the experience of others, and the classics to contribute to his ongoing learning. Dr. Dupre shares his insights on how you can live well as an individual, family, and a business. Next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony Gerso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have Dr. Jared Dupre, who says, Wellness for Life. He earned his PhD from Kansas State University, developing theories and approaches that address weight management, chronic illness, and general wellness. He later earned an IMBA, that's an international MBA, from the University of South Carolina, learning how to implement change models in the healthcare system and economy. He's the founder of the St. George Health and Wellness Magazine, the founder of the Center for Couples and Family, and he continues to engage in research as a university professor in Utah. Whole Fit, Wellness for Life, provides readers with a comprehensive, integrative approach to health and wellness, designed to help readers who are concerned about weight, chronic illness, diabetes, stress, life balance, or overall wellness. Whole Fit offers principles and solutions to find greater life enjoyment through healthy living. Dr. Dupre relies on the expertise of professionals and practitioners from various disciplines, including medicine, nutrition, fitness, psychology, theology, and family therapy to bring together a more realistic view of health. In addition, stories and examples of ways to find more life satisfaction in all areas of our life are used to inspire and uplift. Now, Jared not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. He's worked with thousands of individuals and families to help them find more happiness and balance in life. Jared's company provides over 10,000 hours of service each year and only continues to grow. His website is jareddupre.com. That's JaredDupre.com. And there's a video on this website, which I highly advise you to have a listen to. It's a very short intro on Dr. Dupre and why he does what he does. This video moved me. All I can say is, please check it out sometime and listen to his message. It is deep. I love it. All right. Okay, Jared is going to give us the 411 on wellness for life and business. Bring him on. Hello, Dr. Dupre. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very grateful to have you on the show. Thank you very much. You're very accomplished, and I just love the energy from seeing that video. It's so nice. I really hope everyone gets a chance to listen to it sometime. It's great.
You know, I appreciate that. It's been a fun ride.
Literally, in several ways, in one. Nice mountain area, that view up there, looking down over the valley while you're bike riding. That is so cool. All right, let's get into this. Cool. Jared, I mentioned a little bit about you. Perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots, please, and how you became an expert in your field. So how did it all start for you, please?
Yeah, you know, actually, I kind of have a unique story. I started out doing service work in South America, working with families. I was in Argentina and Bolivia. And I did that as a young man. I was 19 years old and was down there doing service for about 2 years and came back and, you know, just changed the way I look at life and thought, you know, I see all these families and individuals and people struggling and just changed my mindset about what's important in life and about our relationships and our happiness. And originally I decided to go into business, but ended up becoming a family therapist because of that experience and started working in rural Mississippi and lots of problems in the deep south too, and worked in the middle of the Delta down there and had a chance to meet some great people, but also realized I need to come back to some of my business interests because I realized that wellness is not just about helping people, but you got to understand the systems behind what's going on, including the healthcare system, the economic system, our communities. So I went back to school, got a PhD in human ecology, which is real similar to organizational behavior, but it has more of a social science flair to it, and got an MBA as well. And I focused on international business. I went to the Darling School of Business, which is known for international business, to really understand, you know, the global factors that are influence our economy, our health, our wellness. And brought all those things together and try to make sense of it to develop a model and approach that helps individuals and families be well. But also I found that I've helped a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners as well, because I'm an entrepreneur myself. We all struggle to have life balance, and entrepreneurs maybe more so than not. And that's kind of where my background's brought me. I still am in academia. I still love doing research and teaching, but my love is in taking these ideas and combining these different disciplines to really understand how to make sense of how to make the most of our lives, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you for sharing that. So it was your background in South America that molded and changed your view on wellness and life balance. I just wanted to get a little more into that influence that you had, please.
Yeah. So when I was down there, I was in Salta, Argentina, which is at the border of Bolivia. And for those that aren't familiar with that area, it's a very extremely poor area. And I was actually working with Native Americans that were from that area, Native Indians, that spoke Spanish as a second language. So I worked with people that spoke Guarani and Wichí. They're different native languages down there. And I was given the task to help these families basically survive. And you start working with these families and you realize, okay, first of all, they need a job, and to have a job, they need education, but they also have health care needs, and there might be alcoholism or domestic violence going on in the home, which is oftentimes amplified by stress, not having a job, or health care concerns. And I realize all these things are connected, and they're all connected to the economic infrastructure of whether jobs are even available, or the health care system, or even the education system. And so understanding how to help these individuals and families became not only very complex, but it interested me once I left to try to figure it out. You know, if we're really going to do good in the world, you can't just give a simple solution. It's not, I wish it was that easy, but most problems, most difficulties are very complex. They require complex solutions. And to do that, you really have to have a good understanding of multiple disciplines. And it's interesting, you know, in the United States, we, for whatever reason, we've looked at education in a siloed approach where you study psychology over here and healthcare over here and medicine over here and business over here, and we kind of separate each other because of degrees or whatever, but that didn't make sense to me because that's not how life works. All those are intermingled. And so my own education kind of went back and forth to kind of mirror that same experience I had in South America of, okay, reality is all these things are connected, so it's likely that the solution is going to require an approach that pulls from all these areas as well.
Okay, I gotcha. That sounds interesting. Thanks for explaining that. It's very interesting. Now, this next question is so simple that everyone's going to say, oh, I already know that, but it's not as simple as it seems. And you have a very unique view. I want to ask about how does and how can wellness and life balance, how can that impact success and life enjoyment? And because you've helped so many people, you have a different perspective of that. Could you share that with us, please?
Sure. So I think traditionally people, especially in the United States, want quick fixes to life's problems, and we're all in different stages of life, and I mean, we all have different stresses and concerns and goals and desires. And when we think about wellness, to really look at wellness in a realistic manner, you have to think about wellness being part of our traditional health of our body, but also the health of our relationships, our own abilities to engage in a career or profession that we enjoy, ability to manage finances, ability to have a spiritual connection, whether that's to a higher power or that's religion, whatever it might be. Also the ability to connect with other people outside of our families, you know, to our community. That wellness really is understanding our place and how all these areas are connected to our lives. And life balance is realizing that each of these areas are connected, and doing well in one helps us do well in others, and not doing so well in one area causes us not to do so well in others. So as I've helped lots and lots of people, I realize the best way to do it is you kind of got to take a step back and look at the big picture and ask people what they truly want out of life as they consider all these areas of their lives, and address it that way in a holistic approach.
Okay. Is that when you, at some point in that process, you wrote your book, Whole Fit Wellness for Life? Is that what you were just saying, that principle, that philosophy, that experience, that understanding, is that what you discuss in this book and how to actually accomplish that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Whole Fit is actually an approach that we developed about 10, 12 years ago. We were noticing in the healthcare system that people were putting Band-Aids on symptoms rather than really getting to the root of the problem. And sometimes the root of the problem isn't even physical. Sometimes it is a relationship or loss of a job or stress. And so we start teaching physicians and other wellness providers how to think about all these different areas and be able to really address their long-term health and wellness, considering all these areas. And that led to Whole Fit. We call it Whole Fit. It's an approach. And the book, Whole Fit, Wellness for Life, is written from that approach, to where we have, you know, there's a section in the book on our body, when we look at our fitness and nutrition, but also our brain, our mind, our emotions, and how those things interact. And then there's another section on relationships, and we look at our, you know, family relationships and our relationship with God or a higher power, our relationship with our community. There's another section that is on life balance, looking at stress, looking at how we manage finances and choose a career that fits us. And so all these pieces are used in the book, and we actually tap into the experts of each of these areas. So because of my background, I kind of knew who the top experts in the country were on family wellness. I knew the top experts on financial wellness and on mental wellness. And so the book's actually written by about 21 authors. I wrote a third of it. Yeah, I wrote a third of it, but they're multiple experts, and it kind of illustrates our approach. You know, I don't know everything, and you don't know everything, and so we bring people together and work together as a team when we're thinking from a whole fit approach as we help someone with the healthcare and wellness. And the book's done the same way, that we have these multiple experts to help us consider each of these areas, but also how they're connected. And each chapter gives you ideas that you can implement today that you could do to help tweak or adjust that area, once again, to have that life balance and life enjoyment in your life.
I see. And this book, Jared, can we get that on Amazon or only on your site? Or where is it available, please?
Yeah, so you can get it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. It is available in various Costco stores and Books A Million, various locations. It's been well received nationally, quite a bit of attention, which we appreciate. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble are some of the best places to find them.
Very cool. And I've seen some of the photos of your book signing, and I know that you did very, very well, better than expected. So well done, and congratulations to you on that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Cool. Now, I have more questions, but this discussion on your book gives me a little slant, a little segue.
Sure.
Some people think, well, I go to a doctor, I'm in the healthcare system, that's going to take care of me, right? So, but this book that you've talked about, all these aspects, your mind, your brain, your body, your this, from, I believe you said, 21 different experts. So maybe you could put it in better terms as to why something like this is needed, as opposed to, oh yeah, well, I'm a member of my PPO or HMO or whatever, and they'll take care of me. Could you kind of maybe explain why that might be needed, please?
Yeah, that's a great question. So healthcare, as everyone knows, is changing, and it's not just changing in terms of the structure. We have different legislations that come through and provide different structures, either federally or state level, and that will continue to occur. But there's been a philosophical change in healthcare, even a paradigm shift. And what we're noticing is, for people to truly be healthy and well, they have to be very proactive and preventative in their health. In the past, we've been very reactionary, and that's understandable. I personally have been that way. But today, because healthcare, first of all, is so expensive, and there's so many things that can happen that can drastically impact someone's finances, and not only that, impact our ability to live, how we imagine living as we move into retirement or wherever we might be, that a lot of us are focusing more on ways to prevent things from occurring rather than going to the healthcare system and things have already occurred. And the other thing is, just to be frank, doctors today are overloaded, and they're also tied to only be able to do certain things. And if you talk to physicians, a lot of them say, I wish I could do this or that, but how the system's set up, I'm just not able to. And so doctors aren't even able to really address what they feel is most important, which is this long-term approach to living healthy and well. They have to take care of that short-term current need to help prevent a crisis. It's kind of like putting fires out all the time. And so I really believe that to take advantage of the one life that we have, we all have only one life, that we need to be proactive, that we need to be preventative. And to do that in a realistic way, we can't do that inside a box. We can't just think about one element of our life. Oftentimes we think, I just need to eat better. Well, that might be true, but there's lots of things in our lives that we need to do. And oftentimes it's just small tweaks and adjustments. I don't want to overwhelm anyone. Oftentimes it's just looking at the big picture and saying, hey, I just need to adjust this or that, or say yes to that and no to that, and things do get better. But going back to your original question, I think that being proactive, being preventative is needed today almost more so than ever. We have health insurance plans that usually are high deductible. So you're only getting covered by major emergency crisis moments anyway. It doesn't really cover those incidental things along the way. That's now put in our lap. It's our responsibility to take care of that. And so more so than ever, we need to be proactive, preventative. And I think it also leads to be honest, better happiness, life, enjoyment that way as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I think also the care of one's body, one's life, one's business, and so forth, as you've mentioned a little bit on this, and I think another one of my guests mentioned it, almost like a series of concentric circles, you have to take care of yourself, you have to take care of your family, you have to take care of your community, you have to take care of your job. These are all of various equal importance, and the impact on what you do to yourself, your mind, your brain, your body, or whatever, impacts these, the way you live. So the way I see it as well, it's not just going to the doctor when I'm sick, it's taking the things and doing the things and taking the steps to make myself better, so I never have to go to a doctor,
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it is kind of a mind shift. A lot of people in the past maybe haven't even been too dependent on a doctor that way. But yeah, I think if you think of it from a business perspective, you know, there's certain things that we invest in within our businesses to help improve processes, production, whatever it might be. You know, if you want to really think about it this way, you know, I like your example that you gave. Probably the best investment you can give on your business is yourself. Because if you invest in yourself, you are the person making the business happen. And the better you are in these different areas of your life, the better your business will be as well.
That's right. And when you said that, it brought me to your very good video on that on your site. That entrepreneur, when he falls down, hurts himself, that's it. Or has a heart condition or a problem. That's it. So much for your life as an entrepreneur. You have to take your steps now so that you don't get that scolding by a doctor years from now and going, "Oh, you're messed up, dude. You better change your life."
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that then. So we have to make our changes now.
Absolutely. And not only will it help prevent crisis or things happening, you know, that you don't want to happen, and worse being death. But as we focus on ourselves and be better to ourselves in these different areas, I think we're more clear in our minds. We're more motivated. We're more passionate. We're able to be more energetic, and we're able to connect with people more. And those are all extremely highly needed skills today in the entrepreneurial environment that exists today.
Absolutely. Let's get into the book a little bit more and some of the aspects on it. Jared, would you please tell us some of the key factors that influence our wellness and maybe go a little bit more in depth? I know we've touched on some, but let's kind of tear this apart a little bit, please.
Yeah, sure. So one of the biggest things when I meet with someone, and it could be for weight management, it could be for diabetes, it could be for life balance. It could be an entrepreneur wanting to improve their business and continue to become a better leader. You know, there's various reasons people come to see me. When I meet with them, one of the first questions I ask is, what helps you be happy? You know, forget everything that's troubling you today. In general, how are you happy? What helps you be happy in life? And what we start doing is trying to tap into their motivation. That's one of the key factors that we find that's extremely important, is to find people's true motivation to what drives them in life. And from a scientific perspective, we sometimes call that intrinsic motivation, or, you know, intrinsic meaning internal, which is opposite of extrinsic. You know, extrinsic motivation are those factors that push us or pull us, or use fear or punishment or short-term rewards to get us to do things, whereas intrinsic motivation comes from a place that says we love to do it, or we're totally passionate about it, or we believe in it, or we have a mission or a vision and we want to be a part of that. And we find if we do that first, then that helps us start at a place that we don't have to push or pull them at all. We're only helping guide them to fulfill that motivation that they have. And that's the first step. That's a key factor that I think is almost more important than almost anything, is understanding that intrinsic true motivation. And I can give you a couple examples if you'd like. I remember working with a CEO, and he was wanting to retire, but he felt tied to his business. He was an entrepreneur. He owned his own business for a long time, and he didn't feel like anyone could replace him. He was holding on because he really hadn't developed any leaders to replace him. And he had serious health concerns, heart condition. And, you know, I asked him, and I talk about this in the book, actually, you know, what brings you happiness in life? And he says, you know what? I feel the most happiness in my life when I'm with my horses. He was a horse guy, ranching guy. And so, well, why don't you spend more time with your horses? Well, you know, I'm always stuck at work, and I skip meals, and I end up drinking Coke all day just to stay awake, and my wife's unhappy with me because she likes going to the ranch, and we never go, and, you know, all these things kind of combining. I said, well, you know, he actually got forced to see me by his wife for his heart condition. And I said, well, I'll make you a deal. What if we don't talk about your weight, we don't talk about your diabetes or your heart, let's just talk about you spending time with your horses. And he kind of lit up and said, yeah, that's great. And, you know, I don't know what this has to do with why I originally came, but it was fine, let's do that. And so I worked with him. I said, well, let's try to figure out ways to spend more time with your horses. And what led over time is, well, you know, one of the first things I need to do is get away from work more. And so, you know, he started to naturally think about people in his work that he could train and replace him eventually, kind of a leadership development program. He started thinking about ways to go on the weekends as he brought people to, and he delegated some of that work. He was able to go on the weekends more. He brought his wife. His wife started getting happier with him. They weren't fighting as much. And for those that know horses, you know, it's pretty active lifestyle if you're riding and that type of thing. And he actually started to lose weight dramatically to the point where he didn't have to get he was thinking about going to gastric bypass surgery, didn't have to do that. His heart condition started to, the symptoms started to reduce, diabetes symptoms started to reduce. And that all started with focusing on this motivation that drives him to be with his horses. It's not always that simple, but that gives you an example of kind of how we think about things. So, you know, a long explanation, but motivation, finding your true motivation, what drives you, what helps you be happy, and what's important to you is the most important first factor in my mind.
I like that story. That's very cool on the horses. I like that. His natural affinity with animals, the way I look at it, his natural affinity with animals is cut short by working all the time, and his horses miss him. And I understand that. I'm a dog lover, and I have a very large, beautiful dog, and I really enjoy being with my dog at times, and he enjoys it. And if I can't be with him, so I understand, I can relate to that from the animal type point of view, that's a factor, because you have to have a balance. That's a good factor.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think starting with that is important, and I was just going to mention a couple other factors. I won't go too much in detail, but we've also found that connections with people are really important. You know, you may work really hard and do all these things for your business, but if you don't really have anyone to share that with, it becomes moot. There's no value to it, and so making sure people's connections are there with a spouse or family or friend, whoever it might be, is important. We found that spirituality is important, and that doesn't always necessarily mean religion, but just having a higher purpose and moving towards that. And then we've also found that what we call mindfulness, or having the ability to focus and be in the moment and be good to your mind. And I could talk more about that, but that's also seems to be a really important factor. And if those things are kind of in place, people kind of know what to do with their fitness and nutrition. Those things kind of come, but those pieces of connection, of finding your true motivation, of having a higher purpose, of having a clear mind, those seem to be really important factors.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Good factors indeed. And I'd like to discuss more of those, and I'm very happy if you have any stories to illustrate it. Absolutely. And perhaps you could come up with some, because I wanted to ask you about the roadblocks to those. So, because these have common roadblocks. So maybe you could discuss some of them and the roadblocks, please.
Yeah. So it kind of goes along with, you know, these important factors, but some of the common roadblocks is people get stuck in the day-to-day putting out fire routine, and they don't know how to get out of it. You know, we all have found ourselves, I think, in that place where it just feels like our wheels are spinning and we're just doing our best to survive. And so I think a common roadblock that people have is not remembering the big picture of just putting out the daily fires day to day, not having a long-term big picture plan that's tied to that motivation. And what ends up happening is people begin to resent their work, resent their job, resent their life, and resentment leads, we know this, there's research that shows that resentment leads to serious health conditions. It leads to serious problems in marital relationships, family relationships, and all those things, you know, equally impact our productivity and our ability to do well in business. And so a serious roadblock is if you're not following your passion, your true motivation, but you're just putting out the daily fires. That's a big deal. And I think another one that's common is distancing. And a lot of us do this. What happens is when we feel stress or there's a problem going on, we don't want to share that with others, or we don't want to seek out support or help because we may see that as weak or that we're bothering people. And isolating ourselves from others ends up creating more damage, not just to ourselves, but all those around us. So I think isolation is another really big roadblock. And then I think the last one that I've noticed is emotional reactivity. And it's kind of similar to distancing, but what happens is when we feel stress or something happening in our life, pain that we don't like, we end up engaging in short-term solutions to help us feel good in the moment. That can lead to addictions. It can lead to emotional eating. It can, you know, lead to overworking, where we our addiction becomes our work becomes our addiction. It leads to, you know, problems to where over time, the way for us to feel happy is to engage in this short-term behavior that really doesn't produce happiness. It just gives us instant gratification. And in the end, over time, that will eat on us as well and equally cause us to isolate and disconnect and not do as well in life or in business. So I think those are some common roadblocks that come to my mind.
Thank you, Jared. Very good. Okay, makes good sense. I'm getting more inspired and motivated as well. Now, let's take all this together. And how can we live well individually as a couple, as a family, in a business? How does this all work?
Yeah, you know, one of the first things I always try to do is invite the people that are important to you. If I'm meeting with someone, I always say, hey, let's bring in your husband, your wife, or your whole family even, you know, depending on the situation. You know, obviously not everyone's going to meet with me, but I think it's important to have a good sit down with the important people in your life that might be a partner or a spouse or family. And I think that's one of the key things, and say, hey, you know, like I said before, we have one life to live. You know, how do you feel we're doing? How do you feel the direction we're going? Is it meet our needs? Is it where we want to be? And if not, you know, what can we do to tweak or adjust? You know, that in and of itself, I don't know if we do that enough in our lives, and being able to have those sit-downs off and on, I think is important. And when we have the sit-downs and we have those talks with one another, I think it's important to think of the big picture and say, okay, you know, success isn't defined by one element of life. You know, sometimes we define success based on the paycheck or amount of money that we earn, and those are all important. We do gain a lot of enjoyment, and I think it's important. But we also gain success through, you know, having great experiences with our loved ones, or being able to have a great experience. You mentioned my video. I was mountain biking. I love mountain biking. You know, being able to experience the outdoors and nature. You mentioned your love of animals. Being able to have those experiences and making sure we're living life to the fullest and spending that time doing that. And so I think having the important talks together and thinking about all these areas of your life are important. And then to be open and say, hey, if something's not working or something's not going well, whether it's a son or daughter that says it or a wife, they're not taking it personally and emotionally reacting that way, but saying, yeah, you know, we're all in this together. Let's figure this out. No one to blame. You know, we're a team here. Let's figure this out and see where we need to adjust. I think that those are some good first steps to start to live well in a realistic way. I'm not a big fan of, you know, specific programs that say you have to eat this way, or you have to exercise this way, or you have to do it that way. Everyone's different, and some those programs will work for some people, and I'm not against them. It's just everyone's different. You need to find what works for you. more important just to be able to have the conversation, talk about it together, be willing to look at all the different aspects of our life, and then be willing to be humble at times and say, hey, we may need to adjust or tweak or change. Not take that personally, but work as a team together and work through that. Those are some of my thoughts.
Very cool. I like that. And there's a lot that could be said for what you said. And the one thing that comes to mind, not quite the topic of this show, is there is what people call a soul. There is a spirit. There is this life force. And
yeah.
I think if it's unburdened and is able to do and enjoy those things, you know, you're able to do and enjoy those things that you like, you become more free. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, spirituality, not necessarily does it mean go to church, though I'm not saying advocating going or not going. I'm just trying to make my point. It's a matter of reaching for something greater, better, because there is more to life. We know that there are mysteries there too. And by unburdening ourselves, I think we become more open up to the higher power and learning what it's all about. And I think there's a lot of good surprises there. And I think as we do that, we'll do better in our life, with our family, with our business, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. There's my other area of study that I do a lot of research in is on creativity and innovation. And that's actually a second book I'm working on right now. But it's amazing how similar these two areas are. And it reminded me of what you said, is as we unburden yourself, I actually like that term, that we actually are able to receive more inspiration, more innovation, more creativity, and kind of reach those unknown points that we still have to discover. The United States was a country that was built upon pioneering and discovery and invention. And it's, in my opinion, still the best place in the world to be an entrepreneur. And to be able to unburden ourselves, it releases this tie that we sometimes put on ourselves. It releases us and allows us to explore the unknown and push beyond what we expected for ourselves, and not only feel inspired and enjoy what we're doing, but we add to this world. We add, we get to the cutting edge of what we know so far, and we add more to it, whether that's in the arts or music or business or invention or science. And we know that the principles that we've talked about in WholeFit, someone engages in those, the other side of the research says, you will be more creative, you will be more innovative, you'll be inspired to be able to produce better. And so, I absolutely agree that spiritual peace just opens yourself up to so many possibilities.
Yeah, well said, Jared. And we'll find out more as we unburden ourselves and raise up spiritually to a greater power, for probably lack of a better way to say it really fast, is just off the cuff.
Yeah.
But now, because we do like to talk about revenue and money and helping entrepreneurs, kind of, and I could talk about that other subject nonstop, but let's bring it back to earth for a moment, just
sure.
A moment. And I don't think I asked this yet, but let's talk about, in the place of business, as an employee, as a manager, a leader, how can we put this together to help one at their job, or their job function and so forth, please?
Yeah, no, and to be completely transparent, I'm a capitalist, just like anyone. Well, not just like anyone, that's not true, but a lot of people in the United States. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm the CEO of two companies. Our Center for Couples and Families, we have 14 clinics throughout the country, and we continue to grow. And we have our publishing company that has multiple magazines and directories and online websites. And so I'm very much in the business world, and before that worked in corporate America. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm in reality every day. Today I was thinking about payroll for one company and trying to talk to my accountant for tax season, coming up, and there is the reality of the world. The neat thing that I've discovered is that if we can pay attention to these areas of health and wellness, we actually do become better in our workplace. And there's actually pretty hard research on this. We offer a service through WholeFit to corporations to where we provide a WholeFit assessment where we take each of the employees, we take blood samples, we give them a test, ask them a number of questions, and it gives each employee a report, and then it gives the company a report of all the employees. It doesn't give names to protect confidentiality, but it gives an aggregate report of the company. And because of economic algorithms that we use that have been proven over and over again, we can actually tell the company, hey, based on the health and wellness of your employees, and that includes not just diabetes and obesity, but also depression, anxiety, marital problems, family problems, all those things that we've talked about. Based on the health of your company, your employees, you're losing this much money a year. Because we know for depression, the average amount of sick days is blank. We know that productivity goes down so many hours a day because they're not able to focus because of depression. We know that they're not able to engage as well with other people. And so we know that, and we're actually pretty, conservative as we do this, but we can tell a company, hey, based on the health of your employees, you're losing this much money a year. And oftentimes it's in the multiple millions of dollars. The neatest thing is when we engage with this company on how to help their health and wellness amongst their employees, and we say, let's just focus on 5% of them. This 5%, they can actually see the cost savings over time. They can see by being healthier and more healthier and well that sick days go down, productivity goes up. There's actual dollars tied to this. From a leadership perspective, I do a lot of coaching with executives and CEOs. When I'm able to help someone have life balance and have things come in order in their life, I mean, it's almost black and white situations where they report that their life is so much easier, and that makes their business, their ability to manage and lead their business so much easier. And to be honest, like I mentioned, they become more innovative. They're able to come up with ideas that they weren't able to before. And so I truly believe, just like I said before, that all these things are connected. And even though they're kind of somewhat hard to grab onto, they are tied to hard dollars, and they are tied to numbers, and they are tied to productivity and innovation. And so there's a direct correlation in my mind that if you can focus on health and wellness in a real way, you're not just giving them a gym membership, you're not just saying be more healthy and with a poster in the hallway as employees pass by, but you're truly helping your employees be well, and you're truly helping yourself be well, you'll see significant results on the bottom line. I can guarantee that.
I love that, Jared. Very cool. And I love that program that you have for corporate where you address each employee to their specific needs, not a blanket, not a general, but each employee, what's their scene, what's their scenario, what's the situation, what's the solution. I like that. That's very cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. Last year we caught a number of people that had cancer that didn't know they had it. They would have died that year.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea.
Well, WholeFit Wellness for Life. There you go. I love it. I love it. This book has got far more than I thought originally. I'm very glad that we're having this interview to learn more about it so we can help more people with this. And I do hope many businesses and corporations take advantage of this and use this methodology of individual by individual employee. I like it.
Thank you.
All right, now I'm going to talk about something very unique here on the show. It's a new addition I've had the last couple of shows. I want to talk about willpower and inspiration. So now, here I am. I'm speaking to a CEO, a very successful CEO of two corporations. And Mr. CEO, would you please give us some final insights inside your successful world and tell us what makes you keep on no matter what, regardless of life's failures, big or small? So please tell us what makes you tick, to success.
Yeah. When I got out of school, the Darla Moore School of Business is a ranked number one in the country for international business. We got recruited all over the place to go to Intel or Bank of America or all these places to take a corporate position. And I considered it at the time, but when I really looked into myself, I wanted to be able to have the autonomy and freedom of entrepreneurship to be able to build something of my own and add something to the world. What drives me is whatever I'm doing, you'll notice every single business that we have, we have three missions. We want to provide a business that helps employ people, that helps their families. And just providing jobs in this economy is a good thing. So we like that. We want to provide a product or a service that invites others to be well, to have a happier life, and to enjoy what we've been given in this world. And then the third thing is we want to be able to encourage other businesses and communities to work together and do the same. So what drives me more than anything, I tell people all the time that one of the happiest moments I see is when we're able to provide a good job that helps support a family and it helps them have a good life. And secondly, when we're able to provide a product or service that not only helps provide revenue for a company, but it's multiplied year after year because we've helped them be a better person, be a better family, and that just helps add to the economy and the community that we live in. So what drives me is doing things that help others and make revenue. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Some people think that. I think you can make revenue, do well financially, but still help people in a very ethical way. So that's what drives me.
Very cool. I like it. Deep, good, excellent. Well, there we go. What makes you tick to success? All right, good. Now, speaking of that, I pulled some inspirational quotes from famous people about success and so forth. And what I'd like to do now is read a couple of these out and have your comments on them, all right?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Here's one, Vince Lombardi. For those that may not know offhand, he's a Hall of Fame football coach of the Green Bay Packers. Very successful career. He said, "The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will."
Yeah, that's a perfect quote for Whole Fit. that's bullseye in terms of what we believe is that, I think we're realistic when we say this, that we believe that people can be successful. And the way to be successful is to take what you got, align that with your will, your motivation, your passion, and you're gonna make it. It will happen. It doesn't mean there's no challenges and doesn't mean there's not, roadblocks that come along the way. But the will is what's really gonna help someone be successful more than the characteristics or strengths that you're born with. Because we're all given different lives and we all have different things. The will is what makes the difference. I absolutely agree with that.
Very cool. Very good. Well said. All right. Here's another one. Bruce Lee. I like this quote. He said, "The successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus."
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting part in our book. And it's I mentioned this before. It's on mindfulness, and if you don't know what mindfulness is, it comes from this philosophy that Bruce Lee's talking about. And to be honest, Eastern philosophy has done it much better than we have, and we're just starting to learn how to utilize their strengths in this. But mindfulness is the ability to focus in the moment on the activity at hand. And if you're able to do that, we know that anxiety, depression, all these things go down, but also your ability to succeed goes way up. And it doesn't mean you don't think about the past or you don't think about the future. We learn from the past. We're always planning for the future. But it's this ability to stay in the moment and be able to do what's at hand. And so when we're at work working on the project, we're focused. We're there. We're not thinking about home or money or all these things. We're there. And there'll be other times to think about those things. And so when we're at home, or we're there with our family, or when we're talking with our spouse about our finances, that's when we talk about our finances. It's this ability to focus and be in the moment. And I think it brings a lot of peace to our lives, because we oftentimes get so cluttered with all the thoughts and stresses going on in our head. Being able to have that laser focus is going to be able to help us succeed. And you've picked two favorite people of mine. Bruce Lee is a great quote.
Well, you're welcome. And great answer. Thank you. Yes, it's really just doing what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to be doing it. And
yeah, absolutely.
Good. Here's another one. This is a great, great quote by Albert Einstein, who said, "Try not to become a man of success. Rather, become a man of value."
Yeah. I think that's true, too, because if you focus on what you truly believe in and you're passionate about, that you value, the success comes. Some of the theories that we've developed with WholeFit and our theories on creativity come from this theory called psychological flow. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's this idea that people get in the zone, and once you get in the zone, things start to click. You know, Michael Jordan hitting every shot, or a composer with ideas just flowing, or a scientist, you know, inventing something just flows. And what they found is if someone wants to enter into that psychological flow, they tap into what they value most, and flow occurs. And so I think Albert Einstein hit it on, you know, nail on the head, is, you know, focusing on success isn't the way to get to success. Focusing on what you value and truly are passionate about and believe in, and success will come. And this will be natural. You'll be better at it. You'll be thinking more about it. You'll work hard at it because you're into it and because you value it. So great quote.
Cool. Great answer. Very nice. Good. On point. Love it. We have time for a couple more, two more here. Frank Lloyd Wright, he was a prolific architect, designer, writer, and educator. And he said, "The thing always happens that you really believe in, and the belief in the thing makes it happen."
Yeah, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright has an interesting history. And for those that are Ayn Rand fans, I don't know, those that have read that, you know, Atlas Shrugged or The Fountainhead, The Fountainhead was actually based off of Frank Lloyd Wright, and she talks a lot about this in the book. That, and it's what Frank Lloyd Wright believed in as well, is that you have to be true to your belief. That if you're sincere, you're pure in that. That, you know, you don't listen to the common ways of doing it, or however else is doing it. You listen to what's inside your belief and try to be pure to that. And that's when beauty occurs. And he talked about beauty, and Ayn Rand talks about this as well. Beauty is allowing your true self to be shared. And some people consider that to be selfish, but what they describe is, no, if you're your best self and you share that with the world, it actually helps the world more than anything. People that we care about, our communities, if we're able to be more sincere and pure with our belief, that's what allows society and ourselves to move forward. So it's actually one of the most unselfish things that we can do, is to be true to our belief and allowing ourselves to flourish. And I think that leads to true beauty and peace in life. Another great quote.
Cool. Thank you. Great answer. Beautiful answer. Love it. Or comment. And last is Henry David Thoreau. He was an American author, poet, philosopher. He passed in 1862. Amazing what he did. His quote, "The secret of achievement is to hold a picture of a successful outcome in the mind."
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of, there's a chapter in our book, WholeFit, it's called As a Man Thinketh and Feeleth. And it comes from that book, As a Man Thinketh. And the idea being that the true place, our garden for success, where we plant seeds and nurture them and watch them grow, is really in our mind. And, you know, we have the old children's book of of the little engine that could, you know, I think I can type of idea. And we have lots of examples of that, but there really is something to be said about our ability to have a clear understanding of our thoughts and the power of thought and our ability to take that thought and connect it to our passion, to our drive, to our will that we talked about today, and be able to use that to make reality occur. Everything starts with a thought. A good thought leads to good action, leads to good emotion. Defensive thought leads to defensive action, defensive emotion. The jealous thought leads to jealous action, jealous emotion. And one of the most common mistakes people make is assuming they can't change their thoughts, that their brain is just the way it is. And being in psychology and the profession I am, we know that's not true, that thoughts are actually changing all the time. We have a brain full of wires that are changing all the time. And if we start to change the way we think, the wires in our head, the neurons actually physically change and create new pathways. And those pathways impact how our cells divide. So our cells become different. Our whole body becomes different. And so to me, it's amazing what our mind can do. If we change our thoughts, it's not just changing some mysterious cloud in our head. We're physically changing our brain. We're physically changing ourselves, cells in our body, which leads to physical change in our lives. I could go on and on. I won't. I know we're all out of time, but another great quote.
Well, thank you. And you made some great comments there. Lots to talk about. Probably I could do a show all day long on some of that. I believe very much that the Eastern philosophy has a very good mindset on that, the higher power, the spirituality. I believe those all can make a very good change. But yes, back down to the basics, if you hold that item in your mind of what you want and you stay focused on it, it will come to you. Well, yeah. You know, Jared, we're just about out of time here. Let me rephrase that. We're not out of time. We have all the time we want. We're close to wrapping up. Is there anything else? Anything else you would like our audience to know about, please?
You know, if you'd like to visit my website, jaredducre.com, we also have wholefitwellness.com. That's wholefitwellness.com. We focus more on whole fit there. But, you know, one thing I just like to say, it came to my mind, and I always try to listen to my thoughts. I think it's important to be good to ourselves. We're oftentimes too hard on ourselves, and there's lots of things going on in life. There's lots of things going on in the economy. There's lots of things going on in the world. You know, I recently wrote a little article on hope, that hope is very powerful, and sometimes we need to have a little bit more hope in where we're at in life and be able to be good to ourselves. And with that, good things will come. So, I wish everyone with this January season a happy new year. It's a resolution time. And even though things bad will happen this year, I think a lot of good will happen too. I have a lot of hope for that. So wishing hope for everyone. That's my message.
Well, excellent. That's inspiring. And yes, it's going to be a great year. And thank you very much. It's been wonderful. It's been a pleasure. It's been enjoyable. It's been motivating. Good inspiration. It was great. Thank you so much, Dr. Jared Ducre.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Sure. And once again, everyone, Jared's website is jaredducre.com, jaredducre.com. All right. Well, thank you again, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Jill DeWitt and Steve Butala, who are a tag team extraordinaire with over 15,000 completed real estate deals. They say, you are not alone in your real estate ambition. Steve has generated over $20 million, and Jill helps educate and coach their 9,000 member growing community. They are here to help you complete real estate transactions while earning a great living on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book, Easy Sales Procedures, for you and all your business contacts at TonyDURSO.com. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.